I hardly ever, and this isn't the first time that I've been the one to preach on or do the service on a Father's Day. Normally, I don't get to do a Father's Day message on Father's Day. I get to do one today. It might be a little different than what you're expecting, but let's start in Matthew 6. Talk about Father's Day. He is the ultimate father. Everything that we know about good fathering comes from God. Jesus called him the Father. Hallelujah. And we're going to look at a passage you've never seen before. It's called the Lord's Prayer. So, Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. And notice how it starts. Our what? Say it with me. Our Father. Say, I love you, Father. Happy Father's Day. Notice the next part says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We go through that too quickly. God himself told us his name. First off, his name is I am that I am. But he gave us some more detail than that. So let's honor him today as when it says hallowed, that means holy, set apart. There is no other. How about this? Father, say it with me. Father, you are Jehovah Jireh. You are the one that provides for me. Father, you are Jehovah Rapha. You are the Lord that heals me. Father, you are Jehovah Nisi. You are my banner. And I'm in your camp. Father, you are Jehovah Shalom. You are my peace. No matter what the world does, no matter what's going on around me, Lord, you yourself, Father, you are my peace. Say, Father, you are Jehovah Ra'ah. You are my shepherd. I shall not want. You lead me by the still waters. And you lead me into those good pastures. You are my shepherd. Father, you are Jehovah Tsidkenu. You are my righteousness. Oh God. You are my righteousness. You are my righteousness. Oh. I'm trying not to preach right there. Hallelujah. I'm trying not to run off. Hallelujah. Oh. You are my righteousness. So you know, this last one. In your darkest hour, when it seems like all have forsaken you, you can't find a goosebump anywhere on your body, can't sense it at all. But the truth is, say, Father, hallowed be thy name. You are Jehovah Shammah. You are the Lord that is present. You will never leave me. You'll never forsake me. You are with me forever. I hallow your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You blessed his heart. You blessed his heart. That's a good Father's Day present. We could give him that every day. We just, so in case you don't know, at last week's message, we put a PDF at the website. Where if you want to download that, in fact, Angie even found a pretty one. It's got little colors and everything. But if you want to, I think it blesses his heart when you do that individually. Hallowed be thy name. That's who he is to you. that who he, and the devil is always trying to get you to forget that that's not who he is, but he is that. Oh, man. Man. So, praying, be turning to 2 Corinthians. Praying about this message today and what he would like for me to deliver. Yes, sir, I'll go ahead and do that. Now, I don't know why this is important, but this is the third time that he's told me this. It's different. But this is what I'm supposed to do. So, say this after me. Say, Father, you will speak to me personally by your Spirit in this service. Okay? All right. I've learned disobedience is not a good place to be. Sometimes he has to say it to me three times. Sometimes he has to say it to me 100 times. We're talking about Father's Day. So here's a good verse for Father's Day. We're talking about God being our Father. See, and I know that this... See, I was really blessed. I have no excuses. I had the best father on earth. I don't care what you think of your father. Mine was better. I'm bragging. Come on. I'm playing. But I really did have a good, good father, O.R. Carpenter. Was not a perfect man by any means, but I have no excuses. And I know that is not always the case. Some probably in the sound of my voice, maybe some in this room, were abandoned by the father. Maybe they were abused by a father. Maybe they had a father that was a drunk and an alcoholic and didn't care about their kids. And see, even though I had a good one and you had a bad one, that's really got nothing to do with your father now. You understand that? You have a new father. This one is perfect. This one has wisdom beyond all wisdom. This one has help that you haven't hardly scratched the first little surface of. This father is amazing. I want him to be a father to me. Watch this. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Did I tell you what chapter? Okay. Now we're going to start. Let's look at this verse first. Verse 18. And God's talking here and he says, I will be a father unto you. Is that not what we want? Amen. I will be a father unto you. You shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. But boy, that's what we wanted. I want to be a son, and you want to be a daughter, and God to be our father. Now, what's the first law of meditation? You don't ever lift a verse out of its setting. So let's back up just a little bit, like Dave taught us. What's he talking about here? Back up to verse 14. Really, we could go farther back, but that's enough. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. What? For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion hath light? Communion means fellowship. What fellowship has light with darkness? You ever try and get light and darkness to fellowship in the same room? If you can, what you have is gray, which is neither light nor dark. And then Nathan has taught us about the land of gray, so I don't want to live there. See, you got to understand, if God is your father, God is light, and so are you. Amen. Get it straight. You're not gray. You're light. There's only two types of humans on planet Earth. Light or dark. Verse 15. What concord, that means agreement, what agreement has Christ with Belial? So you're either born of Christ, or like Jesus said, your father is the devil. That's the only two kinds of people there are. There's not any more. You're Christian or you're non-Christian. You're light or you're dark. You're born of Christ. You're born of the devil. That's it. What part has he that believeth with an infidel? Verse 16, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Well, if we just knew what the temple of God was. Oh, for you are the temple of God. You are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. Now notice, first it starts off saying, and I will be their God. Well, God is God to the whole world. Okay? The first step is when you start acknowledging him as the only true and living God. But he's going to bring this down from God to Father in a minute. I will be their God. They shall be my people. Now, since that is true for every Christian, wherefore? Now, when you find the word wherefore, know what it's there for. Since God is your God, and you have become one of his people, therefore, come out from among them. And be you separate, saith the Lord. Now get this, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Now, if words mean anything, I'm sorry to preach this right after Alan's lovely message, which is absolutely true. I get to do the other side of the coin. If words mean anything, if you're out there touching the unclean thing, he loves you, but he ain't receiving you. See all the amens I got right there? If that's not true, why write that verse? Y'all think about the prodigal son. While the son, that prodigal son, was in his rebellion, did the father love him? Well, absolutely he loved him. Because it says when he saw him returning a long way off. I'll never forget the day that verse really burned into me. I really got it. And to me it was like, you know, if heaven has a front porch and that son was off in rebellion somewhere. You know, to me it's like the father went out on that porch every day. He hadn't seen his son in a long time. Wonder what he's doing. And of course the father knows everything. But to help us understand, you know. How did he see him a long way off? He went out on that porch every day and strained with his eyes looking down that road. He loved that boy. Right in the midst of his rebellion. The reason I'm crying is I am the prodigal. You probably are too. And right in the midst of your rebellion, right when you were doing heinous and ungodly and unclean things, he loved you, but he could not receive you at that moment. But boy, it didn't mean he didn't love you. Looking for you. Probably praying for you. I don't know how God prays. I pray to me. No, Jesus prays. He makes intercession for us. Okay, I know how it works. Okay. Okay, another lesson. But boy, I can tell he loved that prodigal. So you got to understand, though, God loves every person that ever winds up in hell. Now, we're talking about Father's Day. We're going to talk about a present you can give him. That present is holiness. I know Dave has taught this over and over again, but it just so happened one of the times when Alan stole Dave's message. Alan told about Dave stealing one of his. And we're all stealing each other's. It's okay. And all of us are plagiarizing Paul anyway. So, but it just hit me when Alan said it that time. He says, you know, righteousness is God's free gift to man. That's true, isn't it? We could go to Scripture where it talks about the free gift of righteousness in Romans. But see, righteousness is God's free gift to man. But holiness is your gift back to God. That is your response. That is your reaction. See this, if we're really backed up farther in 2 Corinthians 6, back up a little more. You want, look at verse 1. I just don't have time to go verse line by line today. But this is really the subject. 2 Corinthians 6:1, we then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Well, how do you receive it in vain? Don't change. He gave you the power to... He not only declared you righteous, he gave you righteousness in the new nature. He empowered all of us to walk righteously by his grace. None of us earned it. None of us could buy it. None of us could give him enough offering. None of us could live a good enough life. Through the blood of Jesus, he paid it all and then gave you righteousness. Not only positionally, but he empowered each and every believer with the righteous nature of Christ himself, so that we can live a righteous life. Now that is the free gift. But that is by grace. Well, how do you receive that grace in vain? Isn't that what he said? He says, I don't want you to receive the grace of God in vain. Well, how would you do it? Well, you gave me the power to live righteously, but I chose to live in sin anyway. Okay, we're going to have to play Alan's message and get some amens going here. See, the only way that God, the Father, in that prodigal, the story of the prodigal, the only way that he could receive him was when the prodigal repented and returned home. Now, he intended to come home as a servant. He was so ashamed. He felt so bad. He says, I'm not even worthy to be called your son anymore. I know that feeling. I know that feeling well. The prodigal, he had it all rehearsed. If we had time to teach at length in Luke 15, he had it all rehearsed what he was going to say to the father. And he was going to say, just make me as one of your hired servants and that type of thing. Father, he stopped him before he hardly got started. He says, you bring the robe. You bring that ring. That ring was the seal of the father's house. When that boy had that ring on, it meant when he put a seal on something, it was just as if the father put a seal on something. You bring this. In other words, I'm not restoring you to servanthood. I'm restoring you to sonship with full inheritance. But it comes after repentance. See? Paul is writing to these Corinthians. You got to remember that of all the churches in the New Testament, this church was the most carnal. It does not mean they were not loved. It does not mean they didn't have miracles in their services. They did. This is where we find out about the gifts of the Spirit, working of miracles, gifts of healings, prophecy, tongues and interpretation. All of that was going on, yet it is the most carnal church that we have record of in the New Testament. He said, God wants you to grow up. To this church, isn't that what it is? God wants you to grow up. He wants to receive you as a father to you, but in order for that to happen, you have to come out from among them and be you holy. See? There should never have been a chapter 7 heading here, because the thought sure doesn't end there. So let me read 17, 18, and then chapter 7, verse 1. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be you separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Having, therefore, these promises, dearly beloved. Now, what's our response? Let us. Let who? Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting what? Holiness in the fear of God. I brought a prophecy that has not been released, I don't think, on the website, of Dave's website yet. This didn't come through me. I wish it had. Doesn't matter who it comes through as long as it's the Holy Ghost. Boy, this is a present hour speaking right in line with this message today. And I'm going to go carefully through here. I'm sure it will be If you've signed up for the prophecies from Dave Roberson Ministries, you'll be receiving this one soon. And then it'll also be at their website. He says, the Father says, I speak to my children. I speak to my sons and my daughters to rise up in the spirit of holiness that I have placed within them. To rise up in the power of the holiness that I have put in them. To rise up with the dominion that I have given them over sin. To rise up and walk in the newness of life that I gave, free by the grace and gift that my Son paid for. Now, everything I said, does that not pretty much sum up what I just said about how you walk? You'd receive the grace of God in vain. Well, Jesus paid for it all. The Father provided it all. And we receive it, but continue in sin anyway. That's receiving the grace of God in vain. Rise up in holiness. Now remember, holiness is your response. Rise up in holiness and be obedient to that salvation that is working in you. Let it come forward and be obedient. Yield. Say yes, say yes, say yes, for there is no temptation, none that will ever come your way that you do not have enough ability to say no. You can say no. I have given you the ability, and I have given you the very thing that you need to say no, because I made you free. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. It's not going to do to stand there on that day for me, for you, for anybody, any born-again person to say I couldn't quit. That's a lie. Dave said it first that I ever heard. It's way back there on the born-again trail. It's even before the born-again trail. It's even in his book that if you're sinning, it's because you want to. A lot of people think that started with Nathan. No, Nathan's stealing Dave's stuff like the rest of us. And we're okay with that. Dave's okay with that. Be obedient, though the pressure may seem strong. I can add my witness. Sometimes the pressure, we're talking temptation to sin here now. The pressure can be really strong. And though the pressure may seem like it's stronger than that which lives in you, do not believe that lie that the devil would speak in your ear. Believe what I have said. Believe my truth. Say what I have said. Rise up in holiness and resist, because I gave you the power to resist, and it is in you and it is alive. Stand through every wile that the devil would send. Take the shield of faith, take the sword of the Spirit, take the helmet of salvation, and stand. Stand, for he does not have enough ability to make you give in. I have defeated him and given you all the power over him. But all the power over him is found in the power of my Son that I put in you. So yield to me. Now, this next part, when I heard it come forward, I asked the staff. I said, I want this one as quick as I can get my hands on it. See, I don't transcribe this. Somebody else here at this church does. Because it had been a long time. I knew this was in the Word, but it had been a long time since I'd heard him say it like this. See, what you're about to hear is a Father's heart, more than a God's heart. You're going to hear your Father's heart. So he says, yield to me, for I speak to many who are very, very accountable in their walk with me. For they have lived in the place of disobedience that has grieved my heart. We don't think about that part, but any parent understands it. I have three daughters that I love more than life. I'd lay down my life for any one of them, and I think they know that. All three of them were in rebellion at the same time. Now, Angie's sitting here, and she always says, I rebelled the least, and that's true. Well, when you know your kids are in rebellion, and they're adults, and they're gone, and you can't ground them anymore, and you can't do anything, they don't live in your house anymore, love never goes away, I'll tell you that. Love stays the same. If anything, because of your prayers and your intercession, it's magnified. I don't know if that's possible. Well, I understand a father's heart that when your kids are in rebellion and they're doing things that you know will destroy them, it grieves your heart. We forget that it grieves his heart. Your God is not just a God to you. He is your Father. And he's saying what you're doing will destroy you. I've empowered you to be able to stop. Now stop. But ultimately, he can't force you. Like I could not force my daughters. I could pray. I could intercede. Sue and I did. We made confession. We got agreement from people we trusted, and we did everything we knew to do. But when it came right down to it, it was up to them. And he's saying to us in this hour, and he's talking to people that are very accountable. Yes, sir, I'll say that. He's not talking to a First Corinthian church here. If they were accountable at all, how much more are we, who have had the immense blessing of hearing the revelation knowledge that we've received through Pastor Dave down all these years, that you talk about an accountable people? I'm going to read that paragraph again. Yield to me, for I speak to many who are very, very, not just accountable, but very, very accountable. Yes, sir. Like I said to you earlier, he's going to speak to you today. When I heard this, he spoke to me. See, I don't care where you are. There's something he's dealing with because he's wanting to bring us farther. I don't care where you are. There's going to be something he's going to... Unless you're already perfect. I doubt that's the case. Okay. For I speak to many who are very, very accountable in their walk with me. For they have lived in the place of disobedience that has grieved my heart. Then he said, it has hurt me. It has grieved me. Because you know I have been calling you with love and compassion and mercy. And I have been saying, yield, be obedient, yield. Do not harden your heart, but yield and say yes and obey me, for I have nothing but life for you. When that prodigal returned home, was there any curses awaiting him? Only the blessing of the Father in every way. And that's the way it is for us when we repent and return unto him. I have nothing but life more abundantly. You have been deceived, thinking that you cannot trust me. And I ask that you trust me. Let the sin go, because it will take your life. Let it go. Remember when Dave would talk to us about playing with a baby, little baby rattlesnake? Might be cute. Might want to play with it. That little snake won't stay little. Someday you keep playing with that thing, it's going to grow up. One of these days it's going to bite you. And when it does, it's not planning on hurting you. It's planning on killing you. I am calling. I have given you all ability, all power, all dominion to follow me. And I never ask you to do something that is grievous. For my commandments are not grievous, they are life. Now, I'm going to interject something here, and I believe it's okay with God. Your flesh often will think it's grievous. when he asks you to do something, tells you to quit, especially if it's something you're addicted to, and it does not have to be drugs, alcohol, nicotine. It can be gossip. It can, for some, it's just plain old television, smut, wasting, or just wasting the time. And anything you are truly addicted to, when you stop it, your flesh says, this is grievous. But your spirit does not. Yes, sir, I'm going to go ahead and say that. My job's to follow him. So, Bronk here recently, you know, do we love our Bronk or what? We love our Bronk. Let's love him. And he's always talking about, he'll use my deal, you know, like, Gary, what is the Lord dealing with you about? And what I always say, none ya. It's none of your business. But here's what Bronk said fairly recently. He said, where we're going now, where we're going into war, and it's life or death, and you're on my left, or one of you's on my right, you're none ya may become some of my business. If it's allowing enemy fire through to hit me. That's a new level of accountability. When he said it, I knew it was true. It's time to let every nunya go. Whatever your nunya is, I'm not asking you what it is. I don't even care what it is. I'm just saying stomp it on the head and get it out of your life. And I'm same with Gary. I'm preaching to Gary as much as I'm preaching to you. Yes, sir. We're not even halfway through the prophecy. Somebody locked the doors, okay? And I'm going to teach you this at length at another time. I'm just going to touch something. Dealing with the flesh is hard. The scriptures talk about Abraham actually had two sons. You remember? Who was the first one? Ishmael. But Ishmael was not born supernaturally. He was born as a product of the flesh. This was how Alan would put it. This is man fixing it. Because Abram and Sarai, before their names were changed, they'd never able to have children. Yet God had already made the promise to Abraham, your seed shall number as the stars of heaven. But when time goes by and you don't see the answer, if you're not careful, your mind will come up with a way to fix it. And Sarai came up with a way to fix it. And it was a fairly common thing then. Now today it's more heinous to us as we read it, but at the time it was fairly common. And she had a handmaiden, really a slave, named Hagar. And it was Sarai's idea. Here, Abraham, I give you, and actually the way it's worded, I give you Hagar to wife. The word wife is actually used. Now, that's a tradition we don't have now, so let's don't go back to that, okay? Long story short, Abraham thought that was a pretty good idea, I think. Anyway, he did go into Hagar, and they produced Ishmael. And Abraham, you need to know, Abraham loved Ishmael. And Ishmael grew up in the house for 13 years before God came and said, no, there's going to be another son born. And his name's going to be Isaac. And he's going to be the product of you and your wife, your real wife. Now, Abraham at that point says, because he loved Ishmael. Now, remember, Ishmael is a product of the flesh. Got that? And Abraham says, oh, right after God tells him about this child that's coming, Abraham says, oh, that Ishmael would live before you. In other words, can't you accept Ishmael? And Ishmael is the flesh. Now, what's the end result? Once Isaac was born, now you've got in the same house, same camp, let me say it that way. Now you've got a product of the flesh and a product of the spirit. Ishmael and Isaac. And it says there was strife between them. Is anyone thinking of Galatians 5? For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These two are contrary, the one to the other. Well, that's the way it was in the same house. Now we've got a product of the flesh and a product of the spirit. There was strife between them. What was the answer? What did God? What had to happen? Abraham amazes me at his obedience because he did not want to put Ishmael out. He loved Ishmael. He loved Ishmael. See, I don't know what product of the flesh you're loving right now. There's something going on. Or God wouldn't be speaking that to this house, to very accountable people. But there is something that's maybe lived in your house a long time. And God says, where we're going, Ishmael, the flesh, cannot be a son in this house. You have to put him outside the camp. And boy, Abraham did not want to do it. And I know it wasn't easy. I can't imagine what his heart was like. The more I learn about Abraham, the more I understand why he was called the friend of God. Yeah. Boy, he would obey God. Do you know what he left Ishmael and Hagar with when he put them out? Here's the inheritance for the flesh. A loaf of bread and a jug of water. Barely enough to live on. That's what we owe the flesh. When I hear that, I know. That hit home right there. We got. That's all you owe the flesh. Just enough to live on. Bread and water. Now, there's not the whole story. There's a lot more to teach on that because God had made promise to Ishmael also. But right now we're talking about getting the flesh out of the house. Where we're going. This 13-year love affair with the flesh. It could be a lot longer than that with some habits. And you may have come to love it. You have maybe come. God, can't we just go on from here? Oh, that my flesh could live before you. No. It's got to go outside the camp. Where it has no input. It has no voice. Now, notice Ishmael did not die. Have you noticed your flesh didn't either? Trouble of it is, we keep our flesh pretty close in the camp. Where it talks to you all the time. We've got to mortify the deeds. See, I wish there was a way to mortify the flesh without me dying. It doesn't say mortify the flesh. It says mortify the deeds of the body. In Colossians, it says mortify your members. Well, that's still talking about the deeds, okay, of the body. You're going to have that flesh until we get a new one, a new body. But it has to come to the place where it has no voice. It's got to go outside the camp. Don't you wish there was a church where you could be taught how to deal with the flesh, how to build yourself up on your most holy faith, praying and where maybe fasting, prayer, confession, you could bring that flesh to the place where it has no voice in your life anymore. And you just mortify everything it wants to do. Thank God we go to that church. All right. Getting back to the prophecy here. So I'm going to read that last paragraph to keep the thought intact. He says, do not harden your heart. Yield, and say yes and obey me. For I have nothing but life for you. I have nothing but life more abundantly. You have been deceived, thinking that you cannot trust me. And I ask that you do trust me. Say yes. Let the sin go, because it will take your life. Let it go. I am calling. I have given you all ability, all power, all dominion to follow me. I never ask you to do something that is grievous, for my commandments are not grievous. They are life. My commandments are not burdensome. They are life. So obey me. See, I'm doing it again. I'm trying to bypass something he's saying. In my own life, see, I'm 71 now, for benefit of those that might hear this. I'm 71. Your perspective at 71 is different than when you're 14. As I look back over my life, I would to God I had listened to my father better. I would to God I would never have smoked my first cigarette. I should have listened to him. I should have known better. His word says don't do that. Well, it doesn't mention cigarettes, but it mentions don't become addicted to anything. How about drinking? His word is full of don't be a drunk, don't excess of wine. I wish I had listened to him and never had my first mixed drink. See, I was lucky. My taste buds don't like beer. So when all my high school buddies were running around drinking beer, I didn't run around with them because I didn't like it. But the first time right as I was graduating from college, I had my first mixed drink. Son. My taste buds liked that. It liked it a lot. And I liked the feeling that came. And that was, I would to God I had never drunk that drink. It brought so much destruction in my life. He had only life for me. Only life for me. And if I would have listened to him, my life would have been a lot better. And I could go on with a lot of things, but so could you with your life. He only has life for us. He's not trying to be mean to us. He's trying to get us to walk in more of the life he's already provided. Okay, back to the prophecy. My commandments are not burdensome, they are life, so obey me. On the other side of your obedience, there is much that you have been looking for. Now, in plain English, he has more for you that you'll never walk in unless you stop the sin. Did you hear that? Is that plain enough? Let me read it again. You tell me if that's not what it means. On the other side of your obedience. Now, what's he been talking about? Well, some kind of sin with each one of you individually and myself too. And he says, on the other side of your obedience. Obedience to what? Stop that sin. There is much that you have been looking for. My plan will come forward in ways that you have thought not possible. Obey me and trust me. Now, I've thought about that in relation to a kingdom steward. One thing's for sure, if you're going to be a kingdom finance steward, is what I'm talking about, somebody that's been called to handle money for the kingdom, can we all pretty much agree, it's kind of Jane see the ball, that one stronghold that person has to be free of is the love of money? If he's going to handle millions for the kingdom, isn't that person going to have to be free of, purged from the handle of greed and the love of money? That kind of goes without saying, right? So a guy comes in and he's got a big old handle of love of money sticking out there a yard wide. Maybe he don't know it, but the devil sees it. And he hears Dave's message. And Dave says, you know, if you'll pray in tongues, the Holy Spirit will build you up. And those handles eventually will come off. And the guy hears it. He has the opportunity now, but he doesn't ever do it. And he can go to the prayer center 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, hear the message, eat off the fruit off of Dave's tree and Alan's tree and everybody's, and enjoy the messages, but doesn't ever really do the prayer and the fasting, and wonder, well, I was prophesied to 20 years ago that I was going to handle millions for the kingdom, and I'm still not doing it. But in the spirit, if you could look at him, he's got a handle of the love of money sticking out there 6 foot wide. God's saying, if you'll deal with that, if you'll deal with it, on the other side of your obedience, there is more life for you than you can imagine. But God can't deal with the handles and the sins and the flesh for us. We have to do that ourselves. The grace of God is He empowered us to do it. But you can receive that grace in vain. Sue, go ahead and start the car, baby. It's way too quiet in here, huh? I'm telling you. See, we're talking about Father's Day, our gift to Him. You know what the best gift we could give to Him? Whatever it is that He's been dealing with about for the last 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, finally deal with it. Boy, you give Him a gift. See, she's going to go start the car like that. No, I'm just... Hallelujah. Okay, so that was part one of the prophecy. Now he's talking to another group. And this is the group that's walking pretty holy. I'm not going to take a show of hands as to who thinks they're in which group. Aren't you glad about that? I will speak to others, and I will say, continue to stand. For many have disregarded the stand of holiness in this generation and made it seem like an insignificant thing. But it touches my heart. Say this with me. Holiness touches my Father's heart. Get this. See, it makes me proud that my children walk in their birthright. Some might have a problem with that. They might say, well, I thought he was proud of me anyway. Well, he is. Every father is proud of that bouncing baby boy when he's born. Like somebody says, first thing you want to do is count fingers and toes. They played a trick on my dad when I was born. The doctor come out, and of course my dad, well, how's everything? Well, your wife is fine, but I got to tell you, there's a problem with your son. What's the problem? He doesn't have all of his toes on one foot. Oh, man. He says, now half of them are on the other foot. I'm surprised my dad didn't beat that guy up. But anyway. But see, when a baby's born, you're complete in him. Everything's there. When we're born in the Spirit, we're complete. We're born in the image. We have the nature of Christ in us, really in completeness. But it does not mean you're mature. Maturity takes time. See? So when he says, it makes me proud when my children walk in the inheritance. What's he, in the context, what's he talking about? Walking free from sin. I empowered them to walk free. It makes me proud when they do. You might have a problem with that. So here's some verses for you if you do. You don't have to write these down, but I'm just going to read them to you and you can look them up later. Colossians 1:10. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. If it's possible to walk unto all pleasing, it's possible to walk unpleasing. Here's another one. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. But as we are allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. So even as a teacher or a minister, I could please God or not please Him based on what I say. If I alter the message to please the people, then I don't please God. Trust me, today I'm pleasing God. God, I know this is a hard message. You didn't come. You're not coming to this church because you want a milkshake. You're coming here because you want steak tartare. Anyway, one more. Let me give you one more. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. And I could come up with tons. By two or three witnesses, let every word be established. This is enough. And whatever we ask, how many? This is whatever we ask, we receive of Him. How many wants your prayers answered? Well, I do. I want my prayers answered. Whatever we ask, we receive of Him because whatever we ask, we receive of Him because. What's the because? Because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. But what if you're doing things that are not pleasing in His sight? I didn't look this one up, but I believe it's in Peter. It's one of Peter's letters. It says something like, men walk, how does it say that? Walk with your wife. The gist of it is this. Be careful how you walk with your wife, because if you don't, your prayers can be hindered. Well, it doesn't. Yeah, I raise my hands and I worship God, and then I go home and yell at my wife, and I don't know why my prayers aren't being answered. Well, now we know. You got a nun yet that you need to deal with. I want to say it again. Righteousness is God's gift to us, free by grace. You want to give God a gift on Father's Day? Holiness is our gift back to Him. And He's asking for that. That prophecy came last week. This is not from 10 years ago. He's talking to us right now. And He's saying, you want to give me a gift? I want the gift of holiness. I'm going to read that sentence again. See, if there's scripture, there's at least three witnesses. It's possible to walk pleasing to the Lord, which means it's possible to walk unpleasing to the Lord. Okay? And He says here in this prophecy, for many have disregarded the stand of holiness in this generation that made it seem like an insignificant thing, but it touches my heart. And it makes me proud that my children walk in their birthright. That same sentiment comes through the Apostle John near the end of his life when he's writing those little epistles, little short epistles. He says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in truth. It gives John joy because it gives the Father joy. He wants us walking in truth. So stand and continue to stand, for in your authority I am able to do much for them through you who have not been touched with uncleanness. Y'all remember when Smith Wigglesworth walked on the train that time? Didn't preach, didn't say a word, just walked on the train and sat down. And the righteousness, the presence that was in that man permeated the car. To where other people were, this one guy in particular, he just gets on his knees and says, Sir, you convict me of sin. How? He didn't say nothing. The presence that walked in with him. Sir, you convict me of sin. What must I do to be saved? God can do a lot through us. So He says, stand, for just your very presence causes conviction whenever you walk in the room. You are walking in a different lifestyle than much of where my body has chosen to live. Stand in holiness, for your reward will be great. Fortify yourself in me. Continue to... Now, here comes instructions. I love it. He never tells you what to do without telling you how. Continue to spend time in my presence. Spend time in worship. Spend time in my word. Spend time loving on me and let me love on you. Because I am only going to edify you to be stronger and stronger in the things that I have asked you to do. Do not think that you cannot be obedient today. For many, I am going to ask a new level of surrender. It's not going to make sense, the things that I start to say. Don't question my leadership. Don't question my leadership. Just say yes. Many are going to remember that I am saying this. Say that again. Many are going to remember that I'm saying this. What did he just say? I'm going to start asking you to do some things your mind is going to have trouble with. It's not going to make sense to the natural mind. He says, remember that I said this, and then just say yes. Okay? I have plans that must come forward, and I need your yielded heart. You will know that you're hearing me. So be obedient when you know, because this body is going higher. Amen. Hallelujah. There is much that needs to be accomplished, much that my spirit has been working, much that is going to come to pass. Much. Be obedient. Continue. Stand and stay strong. Stay edified. Stay built up. Stay in love with me. And do not let anything distract you from that place where you spend time with me. I'm going to say this out loud. Once you get past the sins of fornication and adultery and milder, let's take smoking and maybe overeating. And once you get past those, I'm telling you right now, the big the big sin of the majority of people today is distraction. The Bible would call it idolatry. Giving your time to things. Let's say it this way. Giving your time and affection to things other than God. And Jesus warned about that in Mark 4. Just the daily life, you know, persecutions, afflictions, and the cares of this world. And pretty soon you're so distracted here, distracted there, even distracted with good things. You got to be careful even in ministry. I'm warning you ahead of time. You can get so busy doing stuff for God, you never spend any time with God. And that's failure waiting to happen. Do not let anything distract you from that place where you spend time with me, for many have been distracted. Now get this. He says, I do not come with anger. I come with love that says, it's okay. Just get back in there with me. I can do that today. You can do that today. Put away some of those distractions. Just get back in there. Do what you know to do. Pray, worship, fast. Get back in the Word. Go fight Goliath again with David in the Old Testament. Get on Mount Carmel and slay all them prophets of Baal with. Let the fire from heaven fall again. Lick up that water and burn up all the offerings. And anyway, Mount Carmel. Get back in there again. The other day I had to apologize. I was supposed to call somebody back in a few minutes, and it was about 3 hours later. And I just got in the Word. You know how Dave would talk about when he'd get in worship and his hot tea would become cold? Didn't realize it. That's what happens with me in the Word. Time gets away, you know? But anyway. But there's other things. Gary needs to spend more time. I know what they are. You know what they are. You know what it is he's dealing with you. That's why he had me instruct you. Your father is going to speak to your heart today. Because he's already been speaking. But he's focusing your attention on it right now. And for now, it's still an onion. It may not always be. Did you go start that car like I did? Last paragraph, thank you, Jesus. Return. He just says, return. Don't let the business of life steal your relationship with me. Did you hear that? Don't let the business of life steal your relationship with me. Because the devil knows, and he is working overtime right now to steal your time. So do not let him take that quiet time with me. I'm going to quote Bronk again. He quotes me all the time. He's been doing some messages about windshield time. I don't think it's in the title. But that's a good term. We all know what, you know, let's say windshield prayer. Prayer while you're driving. Prayer while you're doing the dishes. Prayer while you're vacuuming. Prayer while you're doing whatever it is you do. All of that is important. All of that is good. It is not the same as one-on-one, quiet time, just you and him. Now, it all counts. I still say there is no such thing as a wasted hour praying in other tongues, whether it's windshield time or quiet time. But I do believe what Dave says, the longer you pray, the quieter you get. And we need that quiet one-on-one time with him. But if the time bandit, which is one of my names for the devil, he's pretty good at what he does. I'm 71. My perspective is different than yours. He's pretty good at what he does. Don't get to be 71 and say, well, the time bandit won. Deal with him now. And if you are 71, deal with him now. It's not too late. I got 20, 30 years to go here. Come on. I'm going to read that again. Don't let the business of life steal your relationship with me. Because the devil knows and he is working overtime right now to steal your time. So do not let him take that quiet time with me. Be aggressive and fight him to get alone. Did you hear that? Fight him to get alone. Spend time with me and much, much fruit. Much, much fruit will be reaped. Hallelujah. A witness. Go to Luke 14. I'll let you go in 3 hours. Don't worry. I'm teasing. If I had time, we'd do this whole chapter because he starts off, and Dave has a wonderful series called True Exaltation in the Kingdom. And it's based in large part on Luke 14 down through Luke 11. Verse 11 of Luke 14. But let's pick it up here at verse 12. Then said he also to him that bade him, when thou makest a dinner or a supper, call not thy friends. No, excuse me. I started too soon. Verse 16, I'm sorry, is where I wanted to start. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many. And he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. Now when Dave would teach on this, he'd say, listen, our Father has prepared a banquet table for the world. We are supposed to come and learn how to serve off of the Father's table to the world. The blind, we're supposed to serve sight. To the lame, healing, so forth and so on. That's called revival, when we learn how to serve off of the Father's table. Amen? With that thinking in mind, well, come, for all things are now ready. In other words, the table has been loaded. God's table is available. Jesus already paid the price. The kingdom of God is available. But now notice. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go see it. I pray thee, have me excused. He was too busy to come to the table. Another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. He considered his earthly, temporary business with the oxen as being more important than being able to serve off of the Father's table. And another said, I've married a wife. Therefore, I cannot come. It's not going to do on that day. Why didn't you obey me? Adam already tried this. It's that woman you gave me. Didn't work for Adam. It's not going to work for you. Women, you're not going to be able to point at your husband. No. It's up to you whether you spend time with him. So that servant came and showed his Lord these things. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say to you that none of these men, these that rejected him, none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You can't be too busy with life to spend time with him. And that's what he's warning us about today. So there's two things in this prophecy there's more than two, but the two main things I see out of it. Deal with busyness. Take an inventory of your life. When is the last time you spent quality time in prayer, just you and the Lord? And secondly, whatever sin it is that he's been dealing with, I want to say whatever Ishmael is still living in the camp, and I don't care if it's lived there for 13 years, it is time to put Ishmael outside the camp. You may not ever be able to kill Ishmael, but you can sure move him to a place where he has no voice in what you do. You won't be hearing his voice in the camp anymore. Amen? Thank you, Lord, that this message is over. No, I'm saying. You know what's exciting about this? We're coming into revival. Our focus is going to shift from, Lord, heal me, bless me, anoint me. Sound like I'm singing, me. What about me? What about me? What about me? That's the flesh. What about me? It's going to shift to how it was when Jesus would walk up and say, what is it you'd have me do for you? In other words, everything that the Father has on that table, I'm here to serve it to you. What would you like to have? Blind man, crippled man, we are in for quite a ride. How did Dave say it? You're going to be a happy camper. Now, you may not be happy while you're putting Ishmael out of the camp. Your flesh may whine and scream and all of that. But you're sure going to be happy when we come into serving off of that table. Our gift to God is holiness. Let's give God a really good Father's Day gift. Amen. And give Him holiness. Amen?